Welcome to a brand new Compassion Radio 360. Good morning, honey. It's a long time coming. We are sitting across the table once again for a brand new Compassion Radio 360. Welcome back to our microphones.
Thank you. It is good to be back.
We've been on sabbatical from doing this particular project for a while for a lot of reasons, but God's had our hands at the till for a whole bunch of things in the past couple of years. It's been a very, very demanding and busy time for us personally, and trying to focus again on what matters most to us about this ministry. We knew we had to come back around and get ready to do something fresh and new with all of our Compassion Radio segments. Our Monday program, of course, is called Compassion Radio Chasing the Word. Then we do interview and news segments during the midweek. And then, of course, our Friday program, this, Compassion Radio 360. Mm-hmm. So we're back with a new story.
Yeah, I found this story on a Facebook page that I follow, actually, CBS Mornings. And they always have a really uplifting story on there by one of the reporters who travels the country and just listens to people's stories, listens to what their life is like, the beautiful things that happen in their communities.
The heartwarming stories pretty much is the CBS Morning News brand.
That's true. That's true.
All the stories have a heartwarming component, which you just can't shake. And you and I have talked this morning about what makes it so heartwarming. What is it about the sauce that they have in these stories that makes it so important? And usually it comes down to something that is unexpectedly kind, gentle, or overcoming something that is noteworthy.
Mm-hmm. Or an idea that someone has come up with that is kind, yes, but also beneficial to those around them. And I think that's kind of what this story is about. From the CBS Morning Show in Pocatello, Idaho, the owner of a video store was facing a big decision. David Craning knew he had to close the store. There just wasn't enough revenue coming in. The dilemma he faced, however, wasn't just about the bottom line. It had more to do with one of his most loyal customers, Christina.
Let's play that first minute and a half of the story as reported on the CBS Morning News.
Okay.
At the last remaining video store in Pocatello, Idaho, the curtains have closed. And the final act in the story of the video stop, a staple in Pocatello for more than 30 years, had to do with the owner, David Craning, figuring out how he would tell his best customer that it was over.
Hello.
You see, Christina Cavanaugh's day, every day for the last 20 years or so, has been to rent a movie from the video stop, often the same movies, around the same time every afternoon.
She didn't ask for very much. She asks for very little. So when she does express herself, I try and accommodate her.
Did you have a good day?
That's Tony Cavanaugh, Christina's mom. Her life is dedicated to Christina, who has Down syndrome and is mostly nonverbal.
Are you crying again?
Every night, like clockwork, Christina eats her dinner and watches her movies. Now, getting them could not be easier. From their house to the video stop, it's only about a one-minute drive. And Christina doesn't even need the movies. Tony owns most of them. But that's not the point of the story.
She won't watch the ones here. She'll only watch them if they're from the video store.
It's all about the routine, which is essential for Christina's happiness.
I'd love to play all 4 minutes of this report on the program. We can't do that, of course, but I want people to understand that this is the tone of the way they tell stories on the program, which makes it so warm emotionally to start with. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely the content of the story and what became of David's decision to do something special for Christina that is the heart of the story.
Christina's a 35-year-old woman with Down syndrome. She lives with her mom, Tony, and Tony is her full-time caretaker. She's devoted her life to taking care of Christina.
As many parents of Down syndrome kids realize their life is going to be like that.
Yeah. And as she says in the video, Christina is pretty nonverbal. So she pays attention when Christina has anything to say or indicates that she really wants something. And so every day for the past 20 years or so, Tony has taken Christina to the Video Stop, video store in Pocatello, Idaho. Many of us remember those places we would go to rent videos. Mm-hmm. And take home to watch, you know, movies and TV shows.
Pretty much a small town version of a Blockbuster video.
Right, right. And this is before the age of video streaming. We have so many options now. But this is important because this was a special thing for Christina. Her mother felt like it was her way of giving Christina some of her own agency, a way to make decisions for herself. So she would take her to the Video Stop every day for her to pick out a movie to watch that evening. And it's not just about decision-making. It's also about routine. Routine is very important for Christina and for many of those who live with Down syndrome.
Or people who are on the autism spectrum. Some require much more structure than others. And it's not uncommon that with certain kind of conditions that we recognize now are just part of life of living with somebody who has Down syndrome or autism. Mm-hmm. It's not just an accommodation. It is a structure that's required for flourishing. And mm-hmm. you want your kids to be able to have their best life. And so this is what Tony's done for her daughter.
Yeah. The owner of the store, David, was talking on this video about just all that he remembered about working at the video store. Apparently, he started working there as a teenager in high school and through the years came to own the store. That isn't really covered in the video, but
and part of his routine all those years included
exactly.
Christina.
And he reminisced about seeing Tony bringing Christina in to rent movies. And it just meant something to him. He saw this happening daily as he worked. And over 20 years, he's seen this.
There's a lot of stories like this we're hearing across communities in America where there are small businesses mm-hmm. that have individual relationships with individual customers mm-hmm. that really are meaningful to the people involved. It's not just about the commerce. So David is showing us again what it is about being a shopkeeper, knowing your people, caring about them, and carrying forth what you believe is your moral obligation to serve them, even at a time of great transition in technology and in your business. David watched out for Christina and Tony. So what was his solution?
He says that he kept the store open probably longer than he should have, just because the bottom line was not being met.
Yeah, well,
the
how many people still have DVD players?
Yeah, the financials were not looking good for him. And he knew he had to make this really hard decision, but he also felt obligated, like you said, to Christina, that she needed a place to rent her movies. He didn't want that to go away for her. So he also owns a convenience store, which is right next to the video shop. He took some of the movies, Christina's favorites, all the ones that she was in habit to rent, and moved them to the convenience store. But he didn't just put them in there anywhere. He made a special corner just for Christina, and he calls it Christina's Corner. Now, he used some of the other videos to make it look like a regular video shop, ones that she would never be interested in, but he just stuck the covers up on the shelves. And I don't know how many people remember going into the video store and having the lines of videos stacked on the shelves and you would pick one out, but that's what the place looked like, just a small corner. So every day, Christina can come in, choose the movie that she wants, and rent it right there. So he felt like, this is the least that I can do. This is a little thing that I can do to brighten Christina's day, to help Tony, to just be kind and make sure that Christina is taken care of.
If any of you listening have ever owned a small business where you're interacting with customers on a regular basis, or you have favorite vendors that you deal with because you're in business-to-business work, and your life is kind of structured around the people you serve, then you lose something great when you step out of it. And I think it's one of the reasons why so many small business owners stay in business forever, because they don't know what to do without the people.
Yeah.
It seems like David himself is expressing in a gentle way that he needed Tony and Christina in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it was something for him that reminded him of his humanity. Obviously, I don't know his thoughts, but something that could remind him of how important it is to take care of those around you. And to see them and notice them.
And to be a friend is to become a friend. But he's got 20 years of history here serving this girl who's now a grown adult. It is a special case, of course, because we're talking about not just the, quote, average relationship people as adults would have, but something that is more responsible, that requires more adult oversight and care, as adults to children usually have. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, kind of brings us back around to a scripture that we've heard like forever since we were in Sunday school ourselves, mm-hmm. which is, the least of these. That very term is kind of just baked into modern Christianity. When that phrase is said, you know exactly where in the Gospel of Matthew.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and read that verse we're probably so familiar with?
Well, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. The story is Jesus tells this parable about a king who will separate the sheep from the goats, and to the sheep he'll say, "Blessed are you because you took care of the least of these. You did all of these things when you saw people in need." And they say to him, "When did we do that?" And the king replies and says, "Don't you know? When you cared for one of the least important of these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love for me." So I think that's not God saying that someone with a challenging life, a disability, someone with Down syndrome or on the autism spectrum is least important. But I think
that they're lesser than.
But sadly, sometimes society looks at them that way and looks at people with some sort of disability or some different way of acting or looking as the other.
Right. And there are plenty of examples we would think of, even Jesus saying, you get your reward in full. If you're going to show false piety, just show a little bit of pity to people, but not really enter their lives and care about them. And you're so proud of yourselves for doing it. And you got everything you're going to get because there's no relationship there. There's no real reward. I'm not happy with it. God is saying all through Scripture that genuine empathy, compassion that acts positively towards meeting the needs of another and caring for those who need care and uplifting those who need to lift up and honoring those who deserve honor, all that stuff is something that comes right from the heart of God. So this is not just about being passively sympathetic.
Right.
What David has done for Christina and for Tony is proactively express compassion and genuine friendship. I think the way that Jesus is describing that in the sheep and the goats parable is exactly what you see David doing for that family.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's looking down, but he's committed to lifting up.
Right.
And that is his ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the family recognizes that. They're grateful for it. And Christina has a beautiful friendship, someone she can talk to and someone she can always count on for meeting a need that she has. I need to have something fresh in my life today, and you're the one I go to for that. And David honors that.
Yeah.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
It kind of saddens me to think that these stories have to be highlighted. You know, they should be the norm, in my opinion.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are, but oftentimes it looks like they're the exception. And we do see a lot of things on the news and in our world now and forever, really, of the selfishness of humanity. We see those things on display on our TV screens, on our laptops, on our phones even. And to see a story like this highlighted where this guy did not have to do this. There was nothing motivating him other than his care for this woman. There's no financial gain for him in this. I mean, I think in the video it says they rent the movies for like $2 to her. And only because Christina wants to pay for them. So it's not a financial situation for him. In fact, it probably costs him money to keep this up. But he doesn't do it for that. He does it for the sheer compassion.
And the joy that comes from it.
And the joy for this family. And I love seeing that. I love seeing that there are people in this world, in this country, that are committed to acts of compassion.
And kindness.
And kindness.
You know, we're living right now through a really ugly chapter in some ways when we hear Christian publishers promoting books that make the claim that empathy is a sin.
And toxic.
Yeah, and that those kind of behaviors or the things that compassion or kindness require of us. What is the ethic of those things? If love is going to be our rule, what does it require of us? And then we respond through the Word of God to say, these are the ways that God has always shown us are productive. They are fruit-bearing. They are uplifting. They are honoring of God. And to hear a cultural shift going towards what seems to be very much a 20th century postmodernism, utility of people, transactional living, just treating people as if they are part of making you rich somehow, is not the economy of God. It never has been. It's not that we have to become communist or something in order to follow Jesus. But there is something to be said for predatory kind of behavior that's hiding in plain sight under the guise of capitalism at times, that make us start listening to a totally foreign voice than what the Spirit of Christ says in his own scriptures. Caring for each other is the currency of the kingdom. If we are going to claim to have a king of a kingdom that we are citizens of, that we acknowledge that we've been adopted, have been brought into this kingdom because of the sacrifice, of the giving, of the empathy, of the compassion, of the grace of this king, then should we not try to emulate and commit ourselves to being like that king?
Yeah.
It seems to me that the scriptures are pretty straightforward in this question. I've got to say that I'm going to call the notion that empathy is a sin or that care and compassion are toxic as being not just wrong, but they're heretical. They're heretical to the actual Spirit of Christ and his express words. If we just stuck with his red letter and say, what do we do to be like you, Christ? How do we follow you? If we're really serious about that question, then we don't ever even have to ask the question whether or not empathy is good or toxic or bad. We know exactly what it is. It is the heart of God. And the heart of God cannot be selfish, bad, and impure. It can't. So if we're going to follow him, he's already kind of laid out the roadmap for us. And whether David knows it or not, he is absolutely following this kind of template that is written down for us in the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about even what is the definition of empathy?
Mm-hmm.
The actual definition is a vicarious experiencing of the emotions, thoughts, or attitudes of another.
In other words, walking a mile in their shoes.
Yeah. It's experiencing what they experience. It's sitting with them.
Yeah.
In their joy or in their grief.
Yeah.
Or in any part of life that they are experiencing. That's empathy. And also, what does compassion look like? And it's feeling of deep sympathy or sorrow for another who's stricken by misfortune. The synonyms of it are tenderness and mercy and commiseration even. Those are compassionate actions. And when we're not compassion, when we are the antithesis of that, we're indifferent.
It's like the example of the Shiva, when they call that exercise of compassion after someone has passed away within the Jewish community, mm-hmm. is something that is an act of compassion that requires no words. In fact, it often forbids them.
Mm.
Words often get in the way of real love.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what to say, so we try to cram words to fill a space we don't know what to do with.
Or uncomfortable with it.
And think about all the times that you may have gone through something that's been tough for you, and someone has said the most insensitive thing you could possibly imagine that doesn't seem to fit at all the circumstance. They're not reading the room right. They're misquoting a scripture or misapplying it. And you're stuck with having to just nod your head politely and take it.
Hmm.
Instead of lashing out and saying, that is not what I need right now. I've had that experience. People that seem to be well-intentioned, but looks more like they're just trying to make sure they've done the right thing. Those always bothered me when I see those things happen. Not just that we're better than that, but because we need to learn to be better than that.
Absolutely.
Biblical compassion does require certain things. Often it requires being silent. At the moment where silence has the most power.
But also, it sometimes means not being silent or not being complacent.
Yeah.
And that is what David showed here.
Right.
David showed compassion.
Yeah, he spoke into something here, not about something.
Yeah, he displayed compassion by doing something. And oftentimes, we don't display compassion. We don't show compassion by just sitting on our hands because we're uncomfortable, because we don't know what to do, instead of really digging into the heart of the matter.
So there are some extremes here. We can not do something because we're fearful of doing the wrong thing, but maybe also saying, I really don't want to be involved, period. So I'll just use that as my excuse to not to. Or on the other hand, and thinking you've got it solved, you know exactly what to do because that's what you do. You say something important. You quote a scripture.
Yes.
You bring a casserole dish and dump it on the counter. And then not really thinking through, what do they really need? And not asking God, help me figure this thing out because I see a real need here. I see a real sorrow. I see a challenge. I see an opportunity. And I'm not sure what to do. Lord, help me sort this out because I want to be your agent for positive change, for comfort, and for whatever is needed.
Yeah.
I want to be that person. So God, help me become that. If we don't start with that attitude and that prayer and that beseeching of the one who does know, who does have the supply, does have the ability, does have the power to change things for better, and we don't seek him out, but just try to solve it on our own and never include him, then we are being directly disobedient to the spirit and the words of this parable.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, when did you not see me? Well, let me show you the ways you didn't to the goats. And you really don't see how you minister to me? Let me tell you about it, you sheep. We often are surprised with God's read on the situation, especially in hindsight. God's praising me for this? What? This is just normal life.
Yeah, this is just what I do.
And others saying, what do you mean I didn't earn my crown? Did you not see me do this and that? And then Jesus says, you missed it, buddy. This is not what I was after or how I was going about it myself, and you didn't ask. The solutions are right there in the text. If you're missing the mark because you're not involving God, involve God. Ask him first.
Yeah.
And if you are surprised that God is pleased with what you did, just say thanks.
Yeah.
And be grateful for the fact that God noticed. At any rate, the work of God gets accomplished because people are willing to say yes to what God wants in us and through us. And this example of David and Tony and Christina, it's just one of those little capsule stories that brings to the front the very heart, I believe, of what God is.
Mm-hmm. This is such an encouraging story, and it's such a great reminder for me that little acts of kindness are important also. I don't necessarily have to go on a grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
I can invite people into our home. I can do things that help support those around us who are less able to take care of themselves.
You can go 100% in on Martha. You can also go 100% in on Mary and enjoy being part of something. Or it could be both.
I mean,
there's nothing that was ever condemned about Martha or Mary in their personalities, the way they faced opportunity to be with Jesus or do his work. But they're each commended for what's strong in them and also kind of chided for what's weakest in them to come into who Jesus is and know him as he really is and become part of the great mission together so that we can get the best of Martha's and the best of Mary's involved in the cause.
Yeah.
I'd love the fact that this David in the story seems to have kind of adopted this family and that they have adopted him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that also seems to be a real biblical theme too. When you extend kindness and persistence and time and investment and presence, you often find yourself crossing over sometimes. You can't even put your finger on the date, but somehow we became family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our churches are like that.
Mm-hmm. I hope they are.
And we testify to that with many congregations we've been part of over the years. We really, at some point, really sensed that we were now family.
Yeah.
And there was no pretense anymore. There was no fear of being rejected. We were one.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that point, you know you have accomplished something really important and that God himself is pleased with what he finds. And that's where we'll leave it today with our latest edition of Compassion Radio's 360, the story of David and Christina and Tony. A link to the video from CBS Morning News is on our website on this podcast page. So check that out today, too, if you'd like to see the whole story for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you Monday for the next Compassion Radio, Chasing the Word. Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before.
Will you help us today? Friends, really, we need you now to step up. Please give generously, even sacrificially, right away. I know that God will be pleased if we do. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.